is Digital Marketer. Today, it's Aaron Aegis from Louder Online.
All right, Aaron Aegis, how are you today, man?
I am fantastic. It's my birthday, so I'm pretty happy with life.
Well, happy birthday,
for all
man.
15 minutes that I've been awake.
Yes, exactly. It's funny, for all the listeners out there, I'm in Austin, Texas. It is 6:15 p.m. here, and you're in Singapore, Aaron. What time is it there?
Just gone 7:15 a.m.
Yep, yeah. So we are on the opposite sides of the world right now, but the beauty of technology makes this all possible. Aaron, super excited to have you on the show today. For all the listeners out there who may have heard of your brands or may not have, could you tell us just a little bit about yourself and your business?
Yeah, sure can. I'm the co-founder and managing director of Louder Online. We're a digital agency that looks after medium to enterprise clients globally. We're a fully distributed team, and I'd say about 80% of our clients are US-based, typically the head offices. So we're working with people like Salesforce, Intel, IBM, Ford, some big names there, and then usually the country-specific locations for them as well. So a bunch of clients through Australia, Asia, and so on. Really, our game is acquisition and conversion for companies and getting that traffic, getting that ROI.
Awesome. So fully distributed, meaning everyone's all over the place, right?
No central office. We were founded 11 years ago, and we've been that way since day one. So obviously it comes with its challenges, but yeah, it comes with massive rewards as well. And I'm sure we're going to get into that.
Yeah, definitely. Well, let's dive into that a little bit. So how many employees make up your company in total?
Look, in varying capacities, we're above 70 at the moment.
Wow.
Yeah, and it's a big mix. You know, we have a bunch of full-time, we have contractors, we have teams that we've set up, we have even small businesses that we've actually helped create that focus on their own local area, but then do a bunch of our work, and we're their biggest customer. So wow, we've got a lot of different setups throughout the world.
Definitely. So how do you, as the leader of 70 distributed employees, how do you maintain a team culture and make sure that everyone's driving towards those same goals?
Yeah, it's tough. I feel like now probably a lot of it is second nature. Initially, it was a lot of trying to work out the right tools and technology to use and the right platforms. And then there was like remote workforce monitoring tools, and it'd take screenshots of their desktop and webcam. And I just thought that got a bit icky, to be honest. But it was trying that, and then just really coming back to having the right hiring process and the right team structure in place.
Yeah.
And so our hiring process, which is, I think, key to the whole thing, is what we call the give a factor. And that's that we're only hiring people that we truly believe give a beyond their salary.
Yeah.
And they really care for growth and success and all of those things. And when we hire those people, which takes a long time to find, mm-hmm, there's a trust factor in there. And it all changes to, we're not monitoring time, we're monitoring output. And if we're getting what we need, you do it whenever you want, wherever you want in the world. And that really works. You know, if we've got people that are, you know, flown to Paris overnight, and they're working from Paris. And I love that. You know, we're trying to find people that had the same goals as we had when we started the agency a good sort of 11, 12 years ago now. And that's it. The flexibility and freedom that provides, and yet the level of responsibility they still have, is something that, you know, really it grows. And you can feel that, and that breeds the culture throughout our agency. And then, you know, from that, underneath that, the levels of management and structure in different places is what enables our back-end teams to actually deliver, making sure we've got managers we can trust and people that understand the cultures of different locations where our teams are. It's really key.
Definitely. Wow. It's really cool. And it's got to feel good to build a company up to 70 employees distributed worldwide. But let's take a step back. Let's go back to the beginning. What started this all? What led to this idea to start Louder Online? And can you kind of take us through the journey of from start to kind of where you're at today? I know that's a big question, but we'll start to pick apart some of the aspects of that story as we go along.
Yeah, for sure. Look, I'm glad you didn't say from start to finish, because we're nowhere near finished yet.
Of course. It's good to hear.
So the start, we had no intention of ever being an agency. We 12 years ago now, my wife, who was my girlfriend at the time, we were off living in Thailand on an extended vacation. And we were living on this tiny island, just thinking, this is fantastic. We need to find a way where we can choose where we want to live permanently and earn a strong currency and live on a weak currency and do the whole geo arbitrage play. Mm-hmm. And so my background was in IT, and her background was in different types of marketing. And we thought there's got to be a way where we can combine our skills and actually make this happen. And at the time, there was loads of people saying they're making money online and not many people believing them.
We
were super skeptical. And there was definitely nowhere near as much information online as there is today, where there's, you know, millions of methods and all sorts of stuff. But basically, we thought, you know, we'll give it a shot. We ended up moving back to Sydney, where we're from. And about 4 months later, we made our first 40 cents online. Now, this is the first money that we'd made. Wow. I was doing it full time. Gian was both working and doing it after hours. So it was tough going. But yeah, we made that 40 cents online and we were absolutely thrilled because, you know, it proved, yes, it is real. Yes, it does work.
Mm-hmm.
And what we knew then is the same that we know today, in that the internet is almost infinitely scalable and can be highly automated in different ways.
Yeah.
So we turned that 40 cents into $400 the next day, just scaling up what we were doing. And then that continued to scale. And from there, we were off and around the world doing it in hotels in Rome and Tokyo and all sorts of cool places for the next few years.
Yeah.
That was really the start of what we did. So that was affiliate marketing, and we're making money through affiliate marketing, no clients or anything like that.
Okay.
But then we had people reaching out to us and friends and family saying, look, if you can do that for other people's websites, surely you can tell me how to do it for mine.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the consulting aspect started. And that kind of balanced out the peaks and troughs of affiliate marketing revenue. And then, yeah, from there, we sort of moved our way from small business up to the biggest companies in the world that we're working with today. And we've really sort of just continued to focus on the agency side and providing value to other people that way rather than the affiliate marketing side. That's it in a nutshell.
Yeah, no,
There's a lot of meat in there though.
Yeah, of course. One thing that really sticks out to me and really hits home to me is there's so much information out there. The internet is just exponentially compounding and there are so many people out there to claim to have the best process, the best system, the best way to help you grow your business. How at Louder Online are you cutting through that noise? Or in other words, you know, if we would get frank with it, how do you cut through the bullshit that exists out there?
Yeah, look, I'm glad you said it. You know, there is so much bullshit out there.
Yeah.
And especially in our industry, there's virtually zero barrier to entry.
Mm-hmm.
And it just muddies the water, right? We've got so many fly-by-night scammers that come in and say they can do this and do that and do it for almost no money and just do the whole churn and burn. They take people's money, keep them around for a couple of months, and then move on and sell more clients. It's just horrible. I guess what we do is that we're not out there trying to find new tactics, techniques, and methods. The stuff that we do is tried and tested, and it's about providing value no matter what you're doing. It's not trying to game anything. You know, what we do for these big companies, it's not like we can be shady in what we do in any way, shape, or form. We've got to be thinking about, well, what's providing value to a user, what's providing value to the search engines, what matters, and what's going to entice people to take action. And it's really thinking about the psychology of people and know that we're dealing with humans and how does technology overlay onto that. And that's how we cut through. We also know that being around for so long, we see new things come and go all the time.
Right.
And we stay true to providing that value, and it doesn't matter what tactics or techniques come, it's always going to say, does it align with this? If so, yeah, we'll go for it.
Yeah.
Now, a lot changes, but not much changes to that core approach.
And right.
There's always new engines, algorithms, tools, and platforms, but the same thing matters, underlies all of those.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, it is interesting because there are so many tools, so many platforms, so many different things that are emerging in this space. You know, and as an agency, I'm sure that you have clients asking about all of these new things that are coming about. How do you prioritize, or how do you pick and choose and say no to some of these newer things that are coming out? Or is it more of a blanket approach and say, you know, as these new platforms arise, we kind of embrace them all?
Yeah, so our job is to try to be our client's lead digital partner, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's some of these companies have so many different agencies for different reasons. And our job is that if we're guiding you in the right way, we're encompassing all these different channels and agencies and approaches and all of that. In doing that, we need to make sure that we're legitimately thinking from a strategic standpoint, is this going to help you achieve your goal?
Mm-hmm.
And if no, like we say no often, or actually instead of saying no to the ideas, we typically say yes and. And that way we're not being combative. We say, yeah, we can give that a shot. And this is what's proven to work over here. Look at all this data. And we lead everything with data and say, this proves this works. If you want to give this a shot, we can do that with a slice of the budget that we're pulling from here and here. But, you know, here's what we think about it. Here's what we've seen. And yeah, it's possibly not what we'd recommend. But yeah, we try and go the yes and approach so that we're not being combative. You know, the clients are the boss in the end. So we have to do what we can to please them as well as get them to the end goal.
Definitely. One thing that just came to me, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm assuming that you have clients around the globe, in the US, the UK,
correct,
Australia, anywhere. I recently had a chance to speak with a GDPR expert out in the UK. And I'm curious, you know, from an agency perspective, how has GDPR and all of these data protection laws and compliance laws affected the way that you conduct business?
So I'm not the best person in our agency to be able to answer that.
Fair enough.
What I know that we do is we follow the guidelines. Typically, our services are around the acquisition and conversion.
Mm-hmm.
So any of the legalities, comms, managerial, even dev side of things, are things that need to happen, typically happen on our client side. And that's because of the sizes of a lot of these websites. We're not allowed to even touch these.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of that compliance stuff typically filters down internally in the business.
Okay.
And we'll also provide a viewpoint to say, look, you got to have an accepting cookies plugin or, you know, whatever other plugin needs to be done if we notice that they don't have it. But it's not typically something we have to push from our perspective too hard.
Okay. It was just something that came to me, and it's something that a lot of people are asking about. And so it's good to get perspective from different businesses around the world. I'd love to turn over and talk about your new book, Faster, Smarter, Louder. Tell me about this book.
Yeah, look, we're excited. It's the first book that we've released. And, you know, within the first 3 days, it achieved everything that we were hoping for it to achieve.
Awesome.
So we topped a whole bunch of top level categories on Amazon and in terms of bestsellers. And it was a lot more than what we expected. The whole goal behind the book was that we have a lot of people asking, you know, similar to what you're asking, how do we get started and what would we be telling ourselves if we had our time over again?
Right.
And that was the idea behind this, is to reach an audience by writing this and making sure people have access to answer all of those questions. So a lot of it's about the story that I went through with yourself and a bit more detail about how we got started. And then a lot of the shortcuts in terms of what we feel has provided a lot more value and the things I wish I knew if I was starting again, because we didn't have anyone to guide us when we were getting going. And everything was through trial and error. And the whole goal of this was to say, spend time on credibility and building a brand and your name, because that changes all these other areas. And, you know, the stuff that I was too busy focused on an immediate ROI when we were getting started and didn't want to focus on the brand aspect. And then when we did, it was like, whoa, massive changes in ROI. So yeah, a lot of those sort of tips and tricks throughout the whole process.
Was writing a book a fun process, a tedious process?
good question. The end process is fun. It was fun it was a bucket list item as well, right? Many people want to write a book. I was glad that we got to write one. I found it a difficult process to read and reread my writing about 128 times. Because you want to get it right. You've got to get the editing right. And then it takes that long that companies change their name or their brand, and you got to go back in and change that. You know, a good example of that was Google AdWords changed to Google Ads.
Right.
And so I had to go make sure that was accurate.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand why not everyone does it now.
Yeah.
And I'm glad I got through to the other side. And it's also a learning experience in, you know, I think we will write again. And you know, the success of this means that it makes me want to. And I just know what to expect now. And I think what will come out the other end is going to be a deeper dive into very specific things and different approaches, as opposed to, you know, the high level of how we did what we did and what we'd be doing if we had our time again.
Definitely. You mentioned something that hits home to me, and it's this idea of immediate ROI. And I actually just in a previous conversation on the podcast was talking about this and how sometimes you have to make decisions for yourself and for your clients that do have that immediate ROI. But sometimes you have to make those harder decisions that lead to ROI, but sometimes that's not for a year or 2 years down the road. I'm just curious about your philosophy on this concept of ROI and when it makes sense to focus on that immediate versus the long-term play.
that really just sort of ties in with the goals of the business. We can't make that call on behalf of the clients.
Right.
We need to, everything starts with the goals. What is winning? What is success for you? And what makes you look good to your bosses? Is it that immediate ROI, or is it the fact that your brand is top of mind for everyone? And mm-hmm. the answers are always different.
Yeah.
And especially depending on the size of the business. Sometimes we'll have people come to us just saying, I don't care about anything else. I just need my organic traffic to lift. Some people will say, I need X amount of sales in this period of time. And some people say, I only care about organic traffic to this small section of this massive site. And so there's lots of different things that happen, but the answers as to how to approach that come down to those goals. Oftentimes, though, it's that balancing act, and we'll be coming back to them and saying, you've got to go multi-channel. Most of the time, they'll come and say, bosses need to see an ROI now to prove mm-hmm. that it's successful and we should keep working with you. But obviously, this matters. Brand matters and growth matters over time, so we need to do that as well. And we're sort of splitting up budgets between multi-channels and paid and organic at that time.
Definitely. And what about for your company? Obviously, with your clients, it's dependent on what they want. But as a leader within your company, the person who started it all, how do you go about making those decisions? How do you, when you're at a crossroads between making a yes or no decision against something that might not ROI right away, what's kind of your philosophy on that?
A lot of it ties back to budget, immediate cash on hand, and you know, cash is king. Is the cash available to undertake that? How many other longer term plays are we doing at the moment? And looking at P&L and what matters now, and I sort of balance all of that out. And literally, sometimes you just make a call. There's not enough data, and you just mm-hmm. say, okay, well, I'll go with this. That's how we do it. Interestingly, I don't know if you're going to go down this path with this question, but I feel like I'll answer it anyway.
In terms of
our own customer acquisition for our agency, how do we approach that in terms of being able to get the clients that we have, and how do we balance our paid advertising versus organic and so on? The kind of clients that we go for are not overly receptive to paid acquisition, or at least direct. We see an ad, we click on a landing page, and now we're a lead.
Right.
Any of the ads that we're doing are all about branding awareness and making sure people see our content in different places. So most of what we do is eating our own dog food. Mm-hmm. We're strongly organic. At least we lead with organic, at least initially, in that I write for Forbes and Entrepreneur and Content Marketing Institute and loads of different places. Mm-hmm. So people see that content, and that builds awareness and trust and credibility and authenticity and all that stuff. So what we then do is, you know, any ads that we're doing, we're definitely expanding the reach and awareness and making sure people can see our content on those platforms, and eventually sort of working that down the funnel. But most of our clients come through inbound. Most of our clients come through doing what we do for our clients. Mm-hmm. And if we were working with small business, it would be a lot easier to do add to landing page to lead. So that's not how we operate at this stage.
Definitely. We work with a lot of agencies at, you know, a variety of stages, you know, some who are just starting out, some who are established and have hit the 10, the 50, the 100 million mark. Let's dive into the individuals who are just getting started out. And I think this ties into a little bit of what we talked about earlier in the contents of the book. But when you're starting an agency, what would you have done different if you could go back and start yours again?
I would make sure that no matter how small the investment I was investing in our own brand from day one, it took us, you know, we do a lot of writing for those publications, like I mentioned. But it took me a long time to actually start doing that, to get on the conference circuit, to speaking gigs, to writing and trading up the chain from the smaller publications to the big ones. And it's a process. And then I only wish that I had started that from day one, because one of the big things that we say in the book as well, and it is so true, is that our operations have always been fine. We knew what we were doing. We knew how to be successful in what we were doing. But we'd come up in pitches against other big agencies for big clients, and we'd lose again and again and again, even though we knew we could do it and probably better than these other agencies. The reason they were winning is because they had that brand recognition and recall. You could see that they were thought leaders, that they published here and there, they were talking and so on and so forth. The minute that we switched to doing that, it was when we were closing, you know, difference between a $60,000 deal and a $1 million deal was literally just down to brand.
Hmm.
And so I wish I was investing in that from day one, and that's what I'd recommend.
Definitely. And then on the flip side, it's interesting. We hear in our space a lot of people talking about, man, I can't get past the $1 million mark. I can't get past the $10 million mark. I know there's not like any, you know, one answer that's going to help people get past that mark, but I'm sure that you experienced hurdles that you had to climb as your agency grew. As you get to those points where it feels like you can't get bigger, it feels like you can't grow beyond where you're at today, what advice do you have for those agencies who are struggling with those same things?
I guess the way that I kind of answer that is to say how we did struggle, because, you know, like you said, not a blanket rule for each of these stages.
Right.
But
right.
For us, our struggle definitely was that credibility. When we decided to invest in brand, that was where we took a huge leap in revenue.
Cool.
And it wasn't immediate either. So it was all guesswork and hoping and praying at times, you know. But that was a difference between being able to close those smaller to medium businesses and then close those large ones.
Yeah.
It simply came down to that brand aspect. So I definitely would be doing that credibility and brand. The other thing was, it also depends on who you're targeting. If you want to be an agency that gets past these hurdles but is still focusing on small business just at a higher scale, then, you know, it comes down to the right kind of funnels, the right outreach, and making sure that you're managing those three areas of client acquisition, which is partnerships, inbound and outbound.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're able to set up good processes across all of those, you're going to be fine. I've never found direct outbound to work very well in terms of hitting up those medium to enterprise.
Yeah.
If you're focusing on the small business, yes, I think that it's definitely possible.
Yeah.
Inbound, everyone knows you've got to write for these publications and create your own content and distribute it and so on and so forth. The partnerships is a massive one as well that I think many people overlook. I've seen agencies that are successful purely by focusing on partnerships alone, and that's hitting up every web dev shop and every CMS agency and every creative and comms and branding, and making sure that you're their go-to person and, well, go-to agency for any kind of marketing needs. And doing that with a proper stringent process in place, I've seen some massive growth in different agencies just because of that.
Awesome. Great, great advice. As we're coming to the end of this interview, I have just a couple additional questions. And one is to just look a little bit to the future. Obviously, we're living in this marketing landscape that is changing by the hour. My first question is, how do you stay on top of all of these changes? How do you stay up to date on what's happening in the industry? And then the second question is, what's next for your agency?
Yeah, good question. So I find a big part of my job is that I need to stay on top of what's going on, specifically in the organic area.
Mm-hmm.
So much changes, and yet, again, so much still stays the same if you're following a true and tested path. Having said that, though, you know, things like when Rich Snippets came out, and you need to be across that and the implementation of it, or algorithm updates that focus on specific areas and industries like Medic and the EAT stuff, and all of this stuff that really can impact organic rankings. A big part of my job is doing a lot of reading and being connected with the right people,
mm-hmm.
and then being able to understand and interpret that and filter that through to the agency if it's applicable and when it's applicable. In terms of what I see coming, I don't think Google's going to slow down with what they're doing in terms of their thousands of algorithm updates per year. I think that's why just making sure you're never out to try and hack your way there or game something when you're dealing with, you know, big brands and stuff. If you want to muck around with your own sites and you want to try things here and there, I fully respect that. Go for it.
Yeah.
You know, the risk is yours. Try some things. It could work out really well, but you're dealing with big brands. You got to do things right. And so it comes down to the, you know, again, the tried and tested approach. Having said that, today, this environment, this atmosphere that we're in at the moment has been one that's kind of shocked me a little bit with all of the algorithm updates that have happened in July specifically. I've seen some sites that are in the health industry and fitness and nutrition and that sort of thing that I cannot find a single thing wrong with.
Mm-hmm.
And yet they have lost 80% of their traffic with the algorithm updates. And, you know, Google's coming out saying, well, there isn't necessarily a fix. It's just that we don't care about it in that much, or we don't have that waiting for it anymore. And it's kind of really shaking everything that I believed in that if you focus on great content in the right way and it's indexable and you've got great authority and you're not doing anything wrong, then you'll win eventually and you'll be okay. But yeah, I'm waiting to see if there's going to be some big recoveries or switchbacks in the algorithm, because I just can't find why these sites don't deserve to be getting the traffic they were. That's frustrating. So hopefully that clears things up for me, because I can then continue to believe what I believed for 11
or
12 years.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, Aaron, thank you so much for taking the time to share a piece of your mind and share your story a bit. Last thing for you today is just a simple, where can people find out more about you and your agency and what you've got going on?
Look, I'd love to hear from you. If we can help in any way, shape, or form, doesn't matter who you are, size of the business, anything like that, I'm happy to have a chat and see how I can help. Reach out at louder.online, or I'm at aaron@louder.online. Would love you to check out the book. Feel free to jump on Amazon and look for Smarter, Faster, Louder. It was a labor of love, so I hope you enjoy it.
Definitely. Awesome, Aaron. Well, again, thank you so much. Happy birthday. And hopefully, as we make our way to Singapore here in the next couple of years with Traffic and Conversion Summit, I don't know if anyone's heard that yet, but we are potentially expanding to Singapore. Hopefully then we can go and officially meet up.
Perfect. I'm here to help when you do that.
Awesome. All right, Aaron. Thanks so much. And we'll talk to you soon, okay?
Thanks for having me.
Hey, DM listeners, if you're running a Black Friday or Cyber Monday special, listen up, because Digital Marketer just released our Canva Holiday Promo Pack. It includes almost 200 templates that you can use to make the graphics for all your upcoming holiday specials and three unique design themes for each holiday. The Promo Pack is usually $27, but you can get it today for free. Check the show notes for the link to download, or you can go directly to digitalmarketer.com/LP/holiday templates. That's digitalmarketer.com/LP/holiday templates.